The Main Ingredient with Kevin Bergen on 680 CJOB.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Main Ingredient. Kevin Bergen here. Hunter Bergen over there. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Dude, I'm doing great. I'm going to eat a bunch of food and I'm very excited about it. That's what I'm here for.
We are at the Dreamland Diner with Ravi Rambaran. What's the address here?
2615 2615 Portage Avenue.
Dreamland Diner. This is restaurant number 3.
Wow. Yeah, number 3.
You are an ambitious guy, my friend. How you doing?
I'm not that smart. That's why I'm doing this.
You are smart.
I think there's a lot easier ways to make money.
He's very, very smart. Okay, let's talk about this restaurant. Let's talk about how it came to be.
Dreamland Diner was always a dream that we had and always wanted a 50s diner. You know, and when this place came up for sale, I felt like it was the perfect spot for it. And it had already had that old building vibe to it. We just need to modern day retronize the place. And it's kind of what we did. So me and my brother Kevin worked together and we wanted to do an ice cream concept. However, Winnipeg being Winnipeg can't survive off just ice cream sales when you got bills to pay all year round. So
100%.
We decided to put in very simple hot foods as well. So hot dogs, fries, poutines, chicken fingers, dino nuggies for the kids.
Dino nuggies.
Bunch of kids.
Not just for the kids.
But really, our
dino nuggies.
Our target market is really anyone who wants ice cream. Ice cream and desserts. That's our game.
So what about the 50s appeals to you?
Back to the Future was a movie I was in love with, and I watched it 300 times.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
I can respect that.
Yeah. I love that movie. I love Michael J. Fox.
I love that guy.
He's the best skateboarder I've ever seen.
100%. Which one out of the... There's three of them, right? Three?
Yeah.
Which one out of the three is the one that you've watched
number
the most?
One.
Yeah, number one. It's so good.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so how did you find this location? What made you choose... First of all, this is your second restaurant in St. James.
Yeah.
What about St. James appeals to you?
The community here is awesome. They're wicked. They stick together. They support one another. A lot of the other business owners in this area are very... They're not of the competitive nature type. Like they don't hate their neighbors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, what do you need? What do you got? Like we opened up right beside Underdogs and they were so excited that we were doing this. And I think that that's just the modern way of doing business. It's the smart way of doing business. And it's everyone's really happy that you're here. And I think if you support their community, it just comes back around.
Well, smart business people realize that good businesses attract more business.
And it's nice. You know, hey, we run out of take on containers, go next door, call the business down the street. Hey, you guys got this. We're stuck right now. We're in a jam. Yeah, we got you. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just so much easier to get along, to be honest.
Yeah. Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
The design of the restaurant. So obviously it was ambitious.
Right.
Of course, this is a great location.
Yeah.
But let's talk about some of the challenges to get it to where it is today.
Yeah. So I mean, anything's a risk. Opening a business is always a risk. But I know that this building historically have had a lot of tenants in it, had a lot of restaurants go in and out of it. And when it came up for sale, I really studied that and I tried to figure out why that happened and how we can get around that. Because I didn't want to open this and put all this money and effort and energy in and then shut down 2-3 years later. So I decided to do a drastic change to the look of the place, cleaned it up, put in the very 50s retro vibe in here, spent a lot of money on the furniture, redid the flooring and paint, and we still have a lot more decor coming in the next week or two. But it's I think what happened here was people were really excited to see a change in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think a lot of the previous restaurants and bakeries that were here kind of just kept the same old look. And just change the menu,
right?
And change the sign out front. So I think that in order to survive in this location, especially with inflation and whatever, you had to make a drastic gamble. So we did, and it seems to be okay for now. I mean, we're still in opening months, but this summer is really going to tell the story.
Do you think the Underdogs guys were so friendly and welcoming? Because that building too has been a lot of restaurants. Remember that one was considered
Was
cursed.
It was the keg.
And then once the keg left,
and then,
it became
then the
like
Irish least, pub. Yeah.
It became like three or four different restaurants. And they've actually,
they're doing really well.
Yeah. Right.
And they're the nicest team over there.
100%.
Great people. Yeah.
100%. So how did you find your staff?
They found us unbelievably. It was the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing I've ever experienced in terms of staffing. We put out a Facebook ad. have a couple pictures of the interior, and we said, Dreamland Diner now hiring. Email us your resume. I've done all the hiring websites and all the hiring strategies for my other restaurants. For this one, all we did was the Facebook ad, and we got over 500 resumes in our inbox. Yeah.
I know, like, within the past couple of years, a lot of friends who have been like, I need a job, I need a job, I need a job. So it's not surprising.
Nuts. And a lot of them were right from Headingley.
Yeah, a lot of kids. Nice and close, yeah.
And just this area. And I think the excitement of the 50s vibe really, I think it's coming back around. It's cool again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that just that Facebook post really tuned into a lot of people by pure luck. And we didn't have to go through the traditional forms of advertising for help. It was super cool to see that. And we only interviewed maybe about a fifth of the people that applied.
But that many resumes.
It was just too many. Yeah. You couldn't.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't think that you would have that problem in this day and age, right?
Not a millionaires.
It's funny. Hunter Bergen, obviously I told you we were coming here. You're very excited about coming here.
Yes,
what
sir.
What were you excited about when we talked about this?
Well, I brought this up earlier, but, you know, 50 diners are really interesting. And the closest one is Half Moon, which is so far out. That's not even in Winnipeg, mm-hmm. right? And me and my friends would go out there. We'd drive all the way out there, have a couple hot dogs, whatever, and then we come back, which is great and all, but you don't want to make that trip.
Not every time. Sometimes the drive is nice, but it's nice to have something like this in this area. Like St. James has never had anything like this, right?
It feels like now it's like a more accessible version of that. Plus, it's more like we were talking about a romanticized 50s, you know, mm-hmm, brighter, mm-hmm. newer, that kind of deal, mm-hmm. which is really interesting.
Funny story. My Auntie Carol is a huge fan of yours. Of yours.
Like me, Kevin Bergen.
You, yes.
Wow, she must be bored.
And she she lives in Trinidad now. She went back to Trinidad. But when I was young, she took me to Susie Q's.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I think that was in Osborne Village. I can't remember where
it was.
But they had the jukeboxes on the walls and all the cool mm-hmm. stuff, right? And I will never forget that. Like, it was just such a weird, cool experience.
Yeah.
And I love that. And that's one of my fondest memories of her. And nice. I was talking to her the other day, and she's like, when are you going to be on the Main Ingredient again? she listens to your show from Trinidad.
Auntie Carol.
Unbelievable.
Hi, Auntie Carol.
Dad, yeah, you so, and all your fangirls. She's gonna,
if
come
this,
on.
If this goes on the air, she's going to listen to it for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very nice.
And her son is Chef Andy Arjun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was a well-known chef in the city here.
Yep.
He passed away. Oh. He passed away, probably 4 years
ago. Yep.
And he died young, but he was the one that came up with the donut burger idea for St. James Burger.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. And, anyways, just big food community people.
Yeah. You gotta love it. Okay. We're going to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we're going to try some food and we're going to talk about some food. This is the tough part of the show, Hunter Burger. Oh, yeah. This is the
this
very
is my
tough
favorite part.
I know. We're at the Dreamland Diner. What's the address, Ravi?
2615 Portage Avenue.
2615 Portage Avenue with owner Ravi Rambrand and Hunter Bergen. And we're going to try some food next here on The Main Ingredient on 680 CJOB. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Main Ingredient. We are still, Hunter Bergen and I, are at Dreamland Diner.
That we are.
And we just ate. You look like a cat that swallowed the canary. That's what you look like.
I'm doing great right now.
You are.
I feel great.
Ravi Rambrand is the owner. He is sitting with us.
What's up? What's up?
You got to describe what we just ate item for item. First, the hot dog Hunter ate was what?
Okay, well, Kevin gobbled it. He didn't eat it.
There was no chewing involved. Was sad.
What was my hot dog was a chorizo dog, was it not?
Chorizo. Chorizo smoky, yeah.
Mm.
And then Hunter had an all beef hot dog.
Yeah.
And,
great.
You're a savage.
It was great.
Did you bite your fingers off?
A little bit. There's a bit of scarring. I think it might leave a mark.
So those came from our good friend Bob Jeffrey at Winnipeg Old Country Sausage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he provides us with our dogs and smokies. And the buns are from Gunn's Bakery. We use a brioche hot dog bun.
And they're nice and toasted.
You got to toast them. Garlic butter. They're good.
There's garlic butter in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's so sweet.
So simple, right? Yeah. But good.
And the simple changes that really make it. The little bites that we dipped in the
pancake bites, mini little pancakes that you dip in your choice of fudge or caramel or pancake syrup, like we had. I ate half of them. Just gonna admit that on the air.
No, you.
At the end there, you were really into those.
I was savaging those things, man. Yeah, it's crazy.
I looked back and there was like two left. And I was like, oh, excuse me.
And then I lifted my hands and it was like, I don't know what happened to my fingers. I don't know what's going on. Those are really good, man.
Yeah, they're fun, right?
Yeah.
Mini donuts, of course, the classics.
Yep.
And what was that last one? That was the s'mores poutine.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes. So that's got the funnel, the made with funnel cake fries. It's got the it's got the fudge on it, and
let me have the Reese's thingies.
Deep fried Reese's cups. Yeah.
Deep fried. How do you think that up?
What did you say they were wrapped in?
Fat kid. Yeah, fat kids think those things up. So that's what we do. Yeah.
What are they wrapped in?
Yeah. Like, something different.
Yeah. She said, what are they wrapped in? You go, fat kids.
Fat kids, yeah. Fat kids.
And I was like, all right. That's the answer we got. We're going to stick with it.
I'm allowed to say it because I was one, right? Okay, yeah.
I got the pass, guys. I got the pass. It's allowed.
Hilarious. Those are wrapped in Reese's dipped in wonton wrappers, covered in peanut butter sauce.
Hang on. Who comes up with that idea?
That was Kevin. That was my brother. It's my partner.
You were just saying yes. Simple foods and blah blah blah. That's not simple.
It's very simple. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. It's not chef.
But it's not a simple idea.
It's just you know.
Like who would think of wonton wrapper to go around Reese's and deep fry?
You know what we did? Kevin and I, we came up with some of the desserts. We're like, what would we have liked 20 years ago?
If
we had free reign on a kitchen.
Yeah.
What would we come up with? And those are the desserts we came up with. Funnel cake fries. Funnel cake made into fries.
Oh, dude.
S'more poutine.
I know what are the successes that made it onto the menu. What were the failures? Did you have any failures?
There were some failures. Yeah, we did the big pretzels. Those all went stale. No one buys them. It was awful. Yeah.
I would have loved to have been here for like all the testing.
There's quite a few that didn't fly.
We'll get you a professional taste testing.
Yeah.
Apron.
We have the $100 dessert tray.
You have what?
The $100 dessert tray.
What's that?
And you could double it for another $50. It's unbelievable. It's got like a cheesecake or chocolate cake on it. Everything, man. It's got all of our desserts on it, and it's a huge spread. I'll have to show you a picture of it. So
you come in with a bunch of friends, and you just order this thing, and it fills the table.
Time we sold it, we sold to two guys who ate it by themselves. So like they didn't.
There's no way they finished.
They didn't finish it. No way. It's huge. It's like something you'd see in a movie. But realistically, you should order it for like maybe two families.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's got all the kinds of ice cream we have on it. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's fun.
Wow. So how many desserts do you have here?
Oh boy, good question. We've got all the popular flavors of ice cream. We've got three different cakes right now. We do get into the cupcakes and that type of stuff too.
Do you guys do birthday cakes?
No, we don't.
Like if someone ordered and said, I want that cake for birthdays, I'm sure they could get it, but you wouldn't dress it up.
I would put a candle on it for them. Yeah.
One candle. Yeah, that is.
Maybe you can jump out of a cake for them too. I'm sure a lot of people that would enjoy that.
I'm trying to get business here, Kevin. not lose it all.
The milkshake that I'm drinking.
He's sucking it back.
That is the cherry pina colada milkshake. That's the shake of the month. It's a dream shake.
What do you think of it?
Oh, it's great. I really like this cherry one though. I'm really like,
that is the most popular one, the cherry milkshake.
Yeah, man.
That's my new favorite. I actually like that one.
It's just so classic.
A little bit better.
So like, I want to tell you about this big fight I had about milkshakes with my brother.
Give it up.
So I got the classic ice cream glasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. They're awesome. They look like they remind me of the old school days, right?
100%.
And then I got the tin sidecars, which is the extra tin side cup for the overpour milkshake.
Yes, I love that. Right? Yeah.
So you
I haven't seen
that
in so long. Awesome.
It's total 50s thing.
100%.
A lot of places kind of lost track of that, and I wanted to bring it back. That was really important to me. In an ice cream joint is when you sell milkshakes, you got to have the side cup.
Mm.
So Kevin, being younger than me, it's like, why do you want that, man? That's just a waste. Like, no one cares
not a waste
about that.
If you're giving it out.
Well, that's right. I'm like, no one cares about that. I'm like, Kevin. Everyone 40 years and older cares about that.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They love it. You need to have that in a retro diner.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, the thing is, you know, this place is all about charm. Like, you come in here, you want it to be charming. 100%. That is part of the charm.
And it's something that I haven't seen in years. Right?
So most people come in here order milkshakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a big problem during the first week because we couldn't keep up. We didn't have enough supplies. We didn't have enough cups or glasses, and we didn't expect it to hit like that in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that's a good problem.
It's a good problem. And I'm running around looking for these tin cups everywhere. I can't find them. No one's selling them because it's winter. So I had to buy a bunch of them online for like double the price. But I ended up getting them. And it turns out everybody likes them. But it was a huge debate amongst our staff here whether we should have them or not, because it's twice the dishes you got to wash.
Yeah.
Right?
The things are expensive. And when they're carrying trays full of these milkshakes, they're spilling. Like, you know, especially it's all new staff, all new concept, right? Like a lot of spills are happening. So, yeah. Anyways, we ended up sticking with it because it turns out people love it.
Okay, so you are raising money for something right now, are you not?
Yeah. We're doing a North Winnipeg Nomads football fundraiser on May 27th, a Saturday, at Four Crowns Hotel. And they are really good patrons of that restaurant. And like, they're the family, the community. But also the Nomads has been really instrumental in keeping kids from getting distracted with negative things and peer groups and whatever. And, and sport is really good for that. And like, man, everyone that goes to that place has something to do with Nomads. It's awesome. So anyways, for the second time now, they got broken into, and their locks, their door, their gates, whatever, got broken. I think some of their equipment got stolen or whatever.
Which annoys me just hearing that.
And what are you stealing kids' equipment for? It's stupid because it's a kids football team.
Right.
What are you doing messing with that?
Bingo.
Right? And what are you going to do with that stuff?
Right. Where are you going to sell stolen football equipment?
So anyways, Nomads actually does a fundraiser in the summer that this is not to be confused with. Four Crowns is doing this fundraiser for the Nomads. Mm-hmm. The Nomads is not putting this on.
Right.
So we're going to raise this money, give it to them as a gift, and hopefully we can raise enough money to pay for their insurance deductible.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. It's going to be, and it's a win-win, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get an influx of customers, you can spend a bunch of money, and we're going to give a bunch of money to the Nomads. So I'm really excited about that one.
What makes you give so much? All you do is give. Every time I don't think I've ever interviewed you where you weren't raising money for someone.
My parents beat it down my throat, man, big time growing up. I'd hear it over and over and over. We'd never be where we are without helping people and people helping us. My parents grew up super, super poor. They had the struggles, right? I was an average Winnipeg kid. I didn't have those struggles, but
it's funny how your parents will do things. They may not have money, but as a kid, you have no clue that
100%.
Right.
And my, whenever we go to Trinidad, my parents would constantly be giving money, I remember when I was a kid, we stayed at my uncle's place and they lived on a hill and nothing fancy. But right on the hill, right? So they lived on the street. On the other side of the street was this hill where it was just straight poverty, tin houses, galvanized roofing.
Oh, yeah,
that's what their walls would be made out of. Right. So my dad takes me and my brother up the hill one day to meet this lady. And we walk in and I'm like, oh man, Dad, where are you taking us? My shoes are all full of mud. Like, what are you doing? And I'm a kid, I'm complaining, right? And he goes, no, you guys got to come with me, whatever. And we walk in and we see this lady and we see her child, a young boy who's a little bit younger than me, laying on the ground with like a ripped up sheet on him, right? And the kid had no hair and the kid was sick, like frail. And I'm like, oh man, God, what happened to this kid? Turns out the kid has cancer, right? They can't afford food. There's no comforts for this kid. Wow. Sleeping on the floor and like dirt floor. And the way Trinidadian people are, no matter how poor they are, they keep their place clean. They take pride in whatever they have. And so she's trying to keep the place as nice as she can to greet us.
Wow.
It was just, what an experience, right? And they had nothing, man. And so he gave her some money and the kid couldn't wake up. Like, he was just tired, whatever, exhausted. So then and that moment I'll never forget, because I realized what a pain in the ass lucky kid I was to not have to live in that condition. And that's when you really start to feel that difference that you're making for people. So we went to the bakery, got them a bunch of food, cupcakes, bread, cheese, whatever, brought it to them. And the kid was up at that time. And that kid started crying because the kid can have a cupcake.
Oh.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
You know, because my kids are eating cupcakes like 3 times a week.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I'm there, you're complaining about mud on your shoes. So and he's
those real life situations are really what turn you on to the idea of giving back and how, even though you're one person, you can make a very significant difference in people's moments, right? And so I'm very excited to inspire people to do that. And the funny thing is, when they start doing it, they realize how easy it is. Mm-hmm. It seems like I'll give back charity work. I gotta take time to do that. I gotta schedule that. We're all busy, right? But if you make it part of your mindset, where like, even as simple as holding the door open for someone with a walker, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe how many times I see people not do that.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Or put back your shopping cart. Little things make a huge difference, right? So it's just being thoughtful, caring, and taking care of your community. And I think the more I do it, the more others do it. And I really do hear that. I hear from my friends, my own friends, saying, you know what? I wasn't going to do this because I saw you do it, man. I did it. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was the best feeling in the world. And it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key to life, 100%, is helping others.
Totally.
Yeah.
The most important question I have is, how do people get here? How do they find your restaurant?
Moray Bridge and Portage Avenue, right beside Underdogs. That's that's where we are. It's a little white building with an obnoxious pink sign on top.
The funny thing is, Portage and Moray used to be the place where restaurants came to die.
Yeah.
And now look at it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're kicking butt right next door. Mm-hmm. You know, seems like we're doing okay so far. I hope that we sustain. I also think the marketplace is very different today. I do. It's like I said, the businesses are not hitting each other in the head. They're helping one another. The communication's better. Social media has been a blessing for restaurants, as you know. Mm-hmm. Hot dog week's coming up.
Hot dog week is coming.
Really excited about that one because mm-hmm. we're one of the few hot dog places in town.
The Great Wiener Roast. The worst festival ever is what it's called.
Yeah. That's good. Dad joke alert.
That's good.
Is that not good? Come on, man.
It's great.
There's a banner outside.
But that is the most dad joke I've ever heard. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's good.
If I were to rank dad jokes, that's up there.
It is. It's probably number one or two.
That's why I laugh so hard. Yeah.
That's awesome. Ravi, you know what? You're the best, man. It's always fun to interview you. You're a good dude.
I'm not, but I try.
He is.
Just keep trying.
He's always going to downplay. He's never going to take anything, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, man. Yeah. Thanks for having us tonight.
No, thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.